right, ladies and gents, we're back today. We're going to be talking true crime with one of our favorite guests. You know, we have Matthew Brockmeyer, horror author, podcaster himself. He's got his own podcast called the Murder Coaster Podcast. It's true crime, very cool stuff, very dark. How you doing today, Matthew?
I'm doing all right. Thank you very much.
Well, it's always nice to have you. So last week we talked about Brian Koberger. Before that, we talked about Rex Huerman, the Gilgo Beach serial killer. I got a lot of responses that people said that, Brian Koberger isn't guilty yet. And they made a big fuss because there's a lot of people who still believe he's innocent.
We started the show by specifically saying his trial had not started yet and that he was innocent until proven guilty. Yeah. We made that very clear. Yeah. I just want to say. We definitely made that clear.
Yeah. But we thank
Listen
you.
Listen to the episode, folks, if you haven't heard it yet, and yeah. You'll hear.
Check it out. We got some past episodes. So today we're going to be talking about Lori Vallow.
Who has been found guilty, by the way. So we can call her
crazy killer. Yeah. So tell me, I don't know much about it. So take me through who she was and what happened. What did she do?
Well, honestly, if you really want an in-depth look at this case, you should listen to Murder Coaster number 18. We go deep into it. And we also have a friend of mine who was in a cult for a while and is a cult survivor. And he comes on the show and talks to us about cults. So that's episode 18 of Murder Coaster, wherever you get podcasts. So Lori Vallow, her birth name would be Lori Cox. She was just a nice Mormon girl, I guess. I have listened to some interviews with some childhood friends of hers as well. She just seems like she was really pretty. She was a cheerleader, blonde hair, blue eyes, kind of bubbly-ish, Mormon. And her dad was a little bit extreme. He refused to pay taxes. He actually went to prison and stuff for it and wrote a whole book about not paying taxes. A lot of these Mormon groups are like that, where they consider the government to be the beast and don't want to do with it.
Why is that? Yeah. Why does religion get intertwined with this?
This is a very religious case. This is all about religion. This is all about Mormonism, not necessarily the LDS, like the modern. Well, they were modern LDS people, but the things they prescribed to this cult they had is not LDS. And I guess I should probably point out that like all of these other people that are in these other cults that are like it, since this case broke, have all pretty much been communicated by the church. And the church, you know, obviously doesn't condone their murder, or they believed in reincarnation, and which goes against church. I'll tell you the story. You want to hear the story, Chris?
Tell me a story, Maddie.
So you got this girl, she's growing up, and she gets married very young. She quickly gets divorced. She gets married again. Has some kid, has a son, gets married again. She finds out her son is being molested by the husband, gets divorced again, and then it's just so complicated. I don't know where to begin. She's got this brother named Alex, and they're very weird siblings. Like, so it's Lori and her brother Alex. And a lot of people said that that her relationship was kind of inappropriate. They would always be calling each other hot. Supposedly they were like literally like would like hump on each other and like pretend to fornicate of some way. And people said it was very inappropriate, made people uncomfortable. But he goes and he tasers the ex-husband in the balls. And so then she meets this guy, Charles Vallow. And then he's a comedian. And he went and made a comedy act. He's like, I found out my brother-in-law was molesting my nephew, so I tased him in the balls. Thought I'd be a hero. Ended up on probation. He's saying this to a whole fucking audience of people.
Jesus Christ. So this takes place, what, in Utah or where?
No, it takes place in Arizona.
Okay.
Mostly, but they get around. The murders, like a lot of it happens in Idaho.
Okay.
So she's in Arizona. She marries this guy, Charles Vallow. He's rich. So they adopt this little boy named JJ. She's got a daughter named Tylee. And she's got a grown son too, who's now off on his own. He's actually start getting married at this point. And she meets these other Mormon people who are into this strange shit. She's always been a little off, a little weird. She got on the Wheel of Fortune one time, and she said it was prophecy, and she had been prophesized. Because like I think she did before she got on, she was like, I'm going to go on the Wheel of Fortune. God has told me. And she gets on the Wheel of Fortune. So she's off a little bit. And she makes this really good friend named Melanie Gibb. And they're into like this weird stuff. There was this lady, Julie Rowe. And then this other guy, what the fuck is his name? Michael Stouds. And they were like these crazy writers. And they believed all this stuff. But the main guy, you know, that they get into is Chad Daybell. And Chad Daybell, it's really hard to go, this stuff is so complicated. He believed that he was reviving this ancient Mormon cult, not ancient, a Mormon cult from the 1800s called the First of the Church Born, because they believe in multiple probations. Mormon beliefs are if you're put on this earth to be tested, and it's a probation. So, and that's you die and blah, blah, blah. But they believe in multiple probations, which totally goes against church doctrine. And it's basically reincarnation. You're reincarnated again and again. So Chad believes that he can see all of your past lives and that he can rate you by how much light and how much darkness you have on a scale of 1 to 10. It wasn't 10. It's some other random weird number came up with. And that if you go dark, you'll get a demon in you. And then at one point you won't even be left. You'll be a walking zombie, and it'll just be this demon that's taken over your body. And so they meet at this one of these conferences because they were all, you know, Mormons are taught to always have a little bit of money, a little bit of food, a little bit of, they're pioneer people. And you know what I mean? And they're out there a lot. They went out to the city in the desert, but a lot of people have taken that and turned it into this prepper thing, you know, like where you prepare, you know, but a lot of times it's to prepare for the end of the world, to prepare for the second coming of Jesus, the apocalypse, you know, all of that. And he fits into this prepper world, and they have podcasts, they have conferences, they have websites, they have forums, you know, and I've gone to all, I haven't gone to any conferences, but I've gone deep into these forums. I've listened to their websites. It's some wild stuff, you know, and they go to this big conference, and he meets her. Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow meet at this conference in 2018. It's not even that long ago. And immediately he tells her that she's like a sex goddess, that they've been married in past lives. They've talked before. They talked before on a podcast where Chad talked about how he hung out with Jesus, and Jesus was clean shaven and had beautiful sandy blonde hair and blue eyes. And so they finally meet, and so Chad, by the way, is married and has like 5 fucking kids back up in Idaho, and where he thinks the new Jerusalem is going to be. And he's immediately all over Lori. And, you know, she's pretty cute. You know what I mean? She had been a beauty contestant, and she had been a cheerleader. You know what I mean? And he is a weird looking, creepy little fucker, but they're like hooked up. And instantly, like, you know what I mean? He's coming down there to Arizona, and they're getting hotel rooms, and they're both married. Yeah, it's so complicated. They go, they're into the Mormon temple. Like I said, if you want to hear the full detailed deep dive in perfect chronological order, listen to episode 18 of Murder Coaster, anywhere you get podcasts. But they start seeing each other, and sure as shit, you know, Charles Vallow, Lori's husband, well, you know, he's gone dark and he's got a demon in him. And he kind of like takes all her shit, and or what happens is he goes on business to California, and she has a vision from God that he's gonna die. So she just takes all his shit out and like takes it to like a fucking storage place and dumps it off, and then takes his truck. And then while she's at it, she like also cancels his plane tickets back. Not gonna need them. And he eventually gets back. He's alive. Can you believe it? And he's like, what the fuck, dude? He's locked out of the house. He can't get in. All his stuff is gone. And you should see the way. So there's police body cam footage of them like questioning her about all this and shit. Actually, this was in an interrogation room. A lot of this, like most modern true crime, is tons of footage you can watch. Police footage, interrogation footage. It's all voicemails, text messages, all that's out there, and it's wild, man. She flirts with cops, and she just flirts her way out of like so much shit. You wouldn't believe, like, the cops are putty in this woman's hands. And you know, they're like, we heard that you think you're a sex goddess, or not a sex goddess, but a goddess. We heard that you think you're a goddess who is and that you want to kill people who have demons in them. And she's just like, can you believe they say those silly things about me? They're the ones who really need help, not me. You know what I mean? Like, that's not an exact quote. Don't quote me, but you know, it's wild the way she's able to like just completely gaslight almost anyone. So her brother, Alex, who's now become her sworn defender, but he was already her defender. Remember, he had tased that guy in the balls. He somehow gets in a fight with Charles Vallow when Charles comes to pick up the kids to drive them to school. And he says Charles attacked him with a baseball bat, and he had no choice but to shoot him in the head, shoot him. It was interesting. Once he was down and on the ground dying, he also shot him again in the back and told 911 he was giving them CPR when he was not giving them CPR at all. And then again, Lori, and so you know what Lori does? She's there. She jumps in Charles's car. So she gets in the murder victim's car and flees the crime scene. In the murder victim's car, goes to McDonald's, goes to the store, gets some flip-flops, comes back, and again, there's body cam footage of this. The cops are all there. And she starts schmoozing the cops. She's going like this. This is not a direct quote, but she says something like, you know, I just moved to this neighborhood and this is so embarrassing. Oh my God. It's like, hi neighbor. And all the cops are here. It's like your ex-husband just got shot to death by your brother, dude. And like, you're just like laughing, and the cop's like, ho, 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 it must be embarrassing. Oh, you're like, dude, why are these people being so inappropriate?
Is there something, the charm about, she had charm.
She had charm, and she got what she wanted. You know what I mean? I'm skimming over so much stuff. For a while, they had moved to Hawaii because she's like, she goes to her husband and she's like, I have a vision that we should move to Hawaii. And the husband's rich. And he's like, okay, you know, what you want, you get. What she wanted, she got. They went to Hawaii for a while, but he wasn't her spiritual equal and he got a demon. So he had to be taken care of. And then, you know, then they're saying that that her daughter, Tylee, got a demon, you know, and she goes, so they meet in 2018, and by September of 2019, like, people are starting to die, you know, and they believe that they're into this 144,000 thing, you know, it's a number that's been picked up on. It says in the book of Revelations, like, 144,000 will be, I don't know, saved somehow, something, I can't remember. But Charlie Manson said it. The Jehovah's Witnesses say it. Traditional Mormons say it, but they just say, like, that's, I think they say that's the number of, like, priests or holy men that will administer over the people or something. I don't know. It's just a number in the Bible. And they pick up on it, and she's going to be the queen of them and lead them up. They have this thing about tent cities, which isn't even old. It's like a newer belief among these crazy Mormon cult people. And the kids go missing. No one knows where the kids are. So her best friend, who had introduced them, Melanie, she is out there in September, and she sees the kids be taken away to bed while they're doing a podcast, they're recording the podcast, and no one ever sees those kids again. And the grandparents start freaking out, people start freaking out, the cops are called a couple times. The one time the cops come in, they've run, the place is abandoned, and they go off the whole, they, and so then meanwhile Chad's wife dies.
Ow.
And he, you can listen to the 911 call. He says she just tragically died in her sleep of natural causes. And he calls up, and you can listen to the 911 call. And he is an amazing actor. He's all crying. She's dead. I can tell she's dead. Oh, but you know what? I can't say anything about him because his trial has not happened yet.
Oh, yeah.
So he is technically innocent until proven guilty. I just want to point that out. Chad is innocent until proven guilty, but his wife died mysteriously. They took her away. They felt so bad for him. The 911 call operator, you can hear it in her voice. She's like, oh, she felt so sorry for him. And they said, do you want an autopsy? And he's like, no, no, I don't want an autopsy. She was buried. And then the cops start investigating this. The FBI at some point is in on it too and shit. And they dig her up and they re-examine her. And it looks, sure looks like she's been strangled to death. And meanwhile, they're in Hawaii, but he had taught that any day earthquakes were going to happen and the end of the world was going to happen. So like she's, you know, like she says to her friend, says to her, don't you think it looks weird that you took off to Hawaii? He's like, well, no one will think anything about it because all these earthquakes are going to start tomorrow. And so everyone will just be preoccupied with, you know, the coming apocalypse. And no one's even going to think about what we're up to.
Holy shit.
And so the cops come to Hawaii and they're like, look, you got to give us your fucking kids. Like, you got to tell us where the kids are, show us the kids. And they still, that they don't take her away right away. They're like, you have like 2 weeks or something, 3 weeks, I think. I can't remember how many, what long it was, but they're like, until, and finally they come back again and she's in a bikini sitting by the side of the pool. And they're like, all right. We're taking you and sending you back to Idaho, where you're under, we're going to be under arrest for like child negligence at the minimum. Where the fuck are your kids? And at this point, it's like national news. Like it's on, Nancy Grace is talking about it. You know, there's billboards up and shit. You know, it's fucking huge. Like, where the fuck are your fucking kids? You know what I mean? He goes to jail. Chad comes there. There's footage of all this. What, during her deposition, Chad's sitting there in the audience, the good lawyer, because now they're married. The story's so complicated. They get married. They buy the rings on Amazon with Charles Vallow's credit card. So like, and they get married. All the money that they use, because they fly to Hawaii first class and all this, all the money came from Chad Daybell's wife's insurance.
Oh, shit.
He got the life insurance. As soon as he got that life insurance, dude, they were fucking on the plane to Hawaii, dude. Yep. And fucking, they, with rings that they bought on Amazon with her ex-husband. So they're in there with the money from, to make, well, she's guilty. She's been found guilty. Like, I don't know. His wife's insurance policy, using her husband's and fucking credit card to buy the rings.
Holy shit.
So, all right. So, blah, 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 blah. They're back. She's in jail. He's in the audience. She fucking, the cops get a warrant to search his place. They've been like doing all this. Meanwhile, the one brother, Alex, and this is so weird, dude, he dies. And you think like they killed him, right? He must have, like all these people are dying, like dropping like flies. He died of natural fucking causes. I mean, everyone, the FBI, everyone has studied this. And I looked into it too. I'm like, is there any way to like, poison someone to make him, it was like clots in his lungs. And like, no, there's no way of making it happen to somebody. It's just something that happens to people. And it's weird. He's dead. And he knew a lot. So like him being dead really helped them, because he was most likely, in my personal opinion, he was the one who did the physical murdering. He's definitely the one who killed Charles Vallow. He shot him. I mean, that's without effect. He just said it was self-defense. So he got off. And I think that he killed the children. Well, I didn't get to that yet, did I? Anyway, so the cops get a search warrant, go there. He had a little pet cemetery there. And at one point he had texted his wife going, I shot a raccoon and had to bury it in the pet cemetery, which, you know what he's doing? He's saying, oh, there's a new grave in the pet cemetery. Don't go out there. But it's like not a raccoon. It's a fucking child. A fucking of the girl, lady that he's fucking. Cops start searching it. And who calls him on the phone while he's standing there on his property watching the cops begin to dig? Lori from jail. Lori calls him from jail. It's recorded. You can listen to this phone conversation. He's like, what's going on? He's like, this is exactly what he sounds like. Dude, this guy's such a douchebag. I don't care. I'm allowed to call him a douchebag, yeah, aren't I?
That's fine. That's opinion.
He's fucking such a douche. He's like, the police are here. He's like, what are they doing, honey? He's like, they're digging. She's like, where? And he's like, in the pet cemetery. She's like, honey, what do you want me to do? What should I do about this? She's in jail. She's in prison. What is she going to do? Like her magical powers? They all thought that they were magical. They all thought that they had like crazy magical powers. Is she like going to do like some incantation? Well, they start digging and they find both the children. I mean, you know, I could draw it out like how they find them, but Tylee had been mutilated and burned. There was knife nicks on her pelvic bone. They were unable to almost identify what killed her because she'd been burned and then chopped up into pieces. They believe that when a demon's in you, once you rid the person of the demon, you only have like a couple minutes to get to end the person before the demon comes back. And burning was one of the ways of purification. And little JJ, and he was just a little kid, dude, little blonde haired, cherubic, like boy. He had autism and he would sometimes like act out in strange ways, and they would say, oh, it's a demon in him and shit. The little kid, dude, they had put a plastic bag over his head and wrapped it in duct tape and then just wrapped his whole body in duct tape, and then he had suffocated. And I'm thinking it's his uncle during a religious ceremony that no one really knows, but I mean, they know, but they're not talking. So he was bound. That was the other way to stop a demon from reentering a body, was to bind the body. So she was burned. He was bound. Dude, just a little kid, dude, put a bag over their head and duct tape it shut and then wrap them up in duct tape.
It's fucked up.
Fucking people are monsters, dude. It's fucking crazy. And like before that, everyone had said what a wonderful mother she was. And fuck.
Yeah. The depths.
And then he leaves. He runs away.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's like gets in his car and takes off, like just goes flying down the road, and then like they're all like the cops and everybody are like, okay, going to get him and pull him over and bring him in, and they haven't even found the bodies yet. You know what I mean? He's like watching as they're starting to dig. He's like, oh fuck,
he knows.
Oh yeah, he knew. You could hear, listen to that conversation between him and Lori. I mean, it's disgusting. It's disgusting because like the lack of empathy or love. It's like, dude, you're talking about two children fucking buried in your backyard, you piece of shit. But he's such a douchebag, just such a whiny, pathetic, sad excuse for a human. And she is so full of herself. She's in jail and still thinking that she's some kind of goddess that's gonna like. And like, ah, dude, just to think that you were like one with Jesus and God and all this, and you're killing children, like that's really what you think like God wants to happen, you know? Like,
yeah, superstitious or schizophrenic or whatever you want to call it, that's pretty much what you get, right?
She's been tested a lot of times for schizophrenia, for whether she was in a psychotic state, and they've all come back negative. She is not schizophrenic. She's not. She, I mean, because you have to, you would think she believes in a crazy religious belief. So does almost everyone on the planet, dude. Right.
If she did it for Jesus, would she still be considered crazy?
Well, you know, and I've talked to a lot of people in the true crime community, and it is divided. Some people are like, she didn't believe in any of it. She used it as an excuse. They were making money. So when Charles Vallow died, he called the insurance company because there was a life insurance policy. And she was like ready to cash in, dude. It was like a cool $1.4 million or something. And they're like, he changed this to his sister's name 3 weeks ago. She's like, what? And then there's text messages between her and Chad. God, these criminal geniuses. And she says to him, like, I cannot believe it. He changed the life insurance policy. And then Chad's like, it must have been the demon that was in him that did it and stuff. And she's like, she goes, not getting that life insurance. This is like a quote, pretty much. It's like a sword going through my heart.
I bet.
But killing your own children, you know, yeah, your own daughter and your adopted son.
That would just be some sort of, you know, disease or something or disorder that you have if you, people that act like that.
No, no, no. Why? I don't understand. She's not schizophrenic. She did have manic states. She said that even before she met Chad, she would stay up all night hearing visions from angels. But I don't think that they were, like schizophrenic voices. I think that she was like, because dude, especially in Mormons are supposed to have revelations from God. They're supposed to be open to a revelation from God. So Mormons are taught from a young age to be open to voices from gods and angels or God, single God, whatever. I don't fucking know. And the whole Mormon thing is fascinating, especially with the temples. I didn't really realize what temples were and like the whole significance of them. And again, listen to episode 18 of Murder Coaster, and we lay it all out like perfectly clear,
yeah,
including what temples are.
Well, I don't want to give too much more away. I would, go check out Murder Coaster podcast number 18. If you're watching this, Matthew Brockmeyer, also check out his books. He's a wonderful human being. He'll be back next Wednesday. Who do you want to talk about next Wednesday, Maddie?
I have no idea.
Dealer's choice.
I don't know. We'll have to think about it. Why don't if any listeners want to hear about anything, we're trying to keep this one this more modern and talk about relevant and newer cases. And so since she was recently convicted, I thought that we would talk about her. We could talk about Shaw Business, you know, about her, but I don't know if I got a half hour's worth of news on her, but I'll come up with something for you, buddy.
We'll stretch it. In the comments, if you guys are listening, let us know who you think would make a good modern true crime tale. So let us know. All right. Signing off. Thanks, everybody. See you next time.
Thanks for having me, Chris. Bye.
Bye.